Jack Fox was not superstitious. He didn't believe in fairies or leprechauns or the good little people. But good luck was good luck. And so, on the day before the harvest season began, Jack made his way with his friends and his neighbors to the magic well. He crawled around 9 times on his knees in a westerly direction, and then he headed for home. But as he walked, he heard a sound from through the hedge. Tick-a-tack-a, tick-a-tack-a, tick-a-tack-a-tick. What can that be? Jack Fox wondered. It certainly can't be a finch. It's much too late in the year for them. Tick-a-tack-a, tick-a-tack-a, tick-a-tack-a-tick. What was it? Tick-a-tack-a, tick-a-tack-a, tick-a-tack-a. Suddenly, the hairs on the back of Jack's neck stood up, and he knew what that was. With his heart beating in his chest, he peered over the hedge. And there he was, a little man no bigger than Jack's knee. He had a pointed hat that was bobbing back and forth, and tick-a-tack-a, tick-a-tack-a, tick-a-tack-a. The leprechaun, the cobbler of the fairy folk, was nailing the last nail into a little golden shoe. The nail itself was no bigger than a pin, and the shoe was the size of a coin. Jack Fox had heard a few things about leprechauns, besides that they kept pots of gold. He had heard that if you meet a leprechaun, you must never take your eyes off him even for a moment, or he will disappear into thin air. But Jack was a polite fellow, and so he cried out, "Good morning to you." "Good day, Jack Fox," the leprechaun replied. "How do you know my name?" asked Jack. "Oh, well, haven't I been living on your own farm for more years than you have yourself, though you've never seen me?" Jack was taken aback. "Well, then, I suppose you might as well introduce yourself properly. Who are you?" "Oh, they call me Mr. Night and Day and Far Away," said the little leprechaun. "Jack Fox, it's a hot day out. Won't you sit and join me for a drink?" "What do you have in that pitcher?" said Jack, never taking his eyes off of the leprechaun's red-bearded face. "Oh, Jack Fox, I've made it myself. It's heather beer, it is." "Heather beer?" said Jack, and he almost looked down at the pitcher, at the dipper that the leprechaun was holding out to him. "You can't make beer from heather." "Oh, that you can, taste it." "No," said Jack. "I want one thing and one thing only. Take me to your pot of gold." "Well, certainly," said the little man. "You just—" "Jack Fox, look behind you. Aren't your cows out now and they're getting into your oats?" And Jack almost spun around, but then he stopped himself just at the last minute. "Oh, no, you don't," said Jack Fox. "You're not going to trick me. Take me to your pot of gold, and I mean now." Well, the leprechaun tried every trick he could think of, but Jack was too clever for him, and he had his heart set on the gold until at last he made the meanest face he could, and he said, "If you don't take me to your pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, well, I'll take you home and I'll have my wife Catherine fry you up in a skillet of butter." "In a skillet of butter? You don't say," said the little leprechaun, and he seemed truly insulted. "Jack Fox, I had taken you for a better man than you seem to be, but gold does strange things to you humans. All right, then, I'll take you to me pot of gold, but it's not at the end of any rainbow." Jack had to leap over the hedge and catch hold of the little man's sleeve so that he wouldn't lose sight of him. And then the leprechaun took him on the bumpiest journey of his life, over the biggest rocks, down into the lumpiest bogs and swamps, through the fences, until Jack was nearly out of breath, and they stopped. "Now wait a minute," Jack Fox said, "where's the rainbow?" "Oh, you people thinking that every pot of gold must be at the end of a rainbow. No, well, my pot of gold is kept here, sure enough, under this bullion bush." "Bullion, you say? You mean this ragweed plant?" Jack's eyes started to water, his nose began to itch. "You swear that it's under this bush?" "That I do. Swear it on me own heart. Cross my heart, hope to die. Is that good enough for you? Jack Fox, I'm the cobbler for the fairies and the elves, and we're having ourselves a ceilidh tonight. If you don't let me go, I won't be able to finish making the shoes that they danced apart from the last ceilidh, and there'll be no dancing. Now may I go?" But Jack held on tight. He kicked off one of his shoes. Although it was a bit warm to be wearing woolen socks, it had been cool that morning, and his wife Catherine had just made him a new pair, red wool knee-high stockings. He kicked off one shoe, and, awkwardly, he yanked off the stocking and shoved it down over the top of that ragweed plant. It wore it like a hat. You see, Jack hadn't brought a spade or a shovel or anything with him, and he couldn't dig up the treasure now. "I'll let you go," said Jack, "as long as you swear you won't remove that bright red stocking from this ragweed bush. All right, I swear it. And at last Jack let him go, and the moment he looked away, the leprechaun had vanished. Jack wasted no time. He ran home over the swamps and through the fences and up and down over the rocky fields. He didn't stop until he came, panting, to his own house. There was his wife, Catherine, standing in the barnyard. "Jack Fox," she said, "what in the devil has gotten into you?" "Catherine," he said, "Catherine, come quick. Grab the shovel, grab the spade, grab anything you can, grab a spoon. I've found a leprechaun and he showed me where he keeps his pot of gold. We're going to be rich." Well, Catherine, she caught the enthusiasm and she raced after him, the two of them tearing across the hills until they came to the last hill. "It's just over this one. You'll see it. I've marked it with my red stocking," Jack said. But oh, when they crested that hill, Jack saw that the leprechaun had indeed kept his promise. But his heart sank. For every bullion bush, every ragweed plant, for 50 acres in all directions, was wearing a bright red woolen stocking. Jack sighed and he sank to the ground, but Catherine, she saw the silver lining in all of it. She laughed and she slapped her leg. "Jack Fox," she said, "what luck! Do you see all these stockings? I won't have to bother myself to knit you another red woolen stocking for a donkey's year." Jack sighed once more, but he had to admit that she was right. He pulled himself up, and together they gathered up every last stocking and carried them home, armful after armful. After the harvest had ended and the winter arrived, though Jack and Catherine didn't sit by the fire counting their gold, perhaps it was for the best. Perhaps the leprechaun had made a fair point that gold does strange things to people. For Jack and Catherine lived long and happily, and for every winter for the rest of their lives, their toes were nice and warm and toasty.